Nick and I are back this week on Chicago Beer Pass as we talk about Puerto Rico, Two Brothers, and go over a ton of beer news that has happened these last couple weeks. All that and more on this week's episode.
Because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Rah, rah, rah.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick White.
And we're back after a week off.
Yeah.
Week and a half, really, because this one's coming out a couple days later. Episodes usually go live, what, Wednesday sometime?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one's coming out Friday.
This is the spring break edition of Chicago Beer Pass.
Right. So you were out in Puerto Rico last week. That was part of our reason why we didn't record.
Right on, man. Got away to the island, man. Seven whole days, man. It was kind of weird. You start to get a little weirded out after like day four or five.
Okay. You know? But then you start to freak out a little bit because you're like, it's almost over.
Yeah. And then you start questioning, like, why do I not live in Puerto Rico? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I going back?
That's a good
question. Oh, that's right. Because I'm running out of money.
How can I make money here? I could stay on the corner. I could. Nice. So that's pretty awesome that you had the chance to go down there. Get away from the snow that happened and a little bit of break in the winter, or I guess not even the break in the winter, the relapse.
Yeah, because our weather's been, if you hate Chicago weather, don't worry, it'll change, right? It's super, super bizarre weather pattern this winter.
Yeah.
Glad to be back though, man. Yeah, I had some craft interactions down there. Not a whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah, not a whole lot. But yeah, they were saying that, the only three brands I could find were, the big boys, you know, Founders, Sierra Nevada, Goose Island.
Okay.
Right. And Lagunitas. Lagunitas made their debut last year.
Founders, though, in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Founders in Puerto Rico. I guess it's part of their whole thing because, you know, they sold like almost 30% of the company to like that that Spanish brewery.
Oh, okay.
So I guess maybe that's got something to do with it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Stone. I forgot about Stone.
Stone.
So just a handful. Okay. Yeah. They, what was it? So I didn't drink a lot of Lagunitas. But, you know, Sierra Nevada and Stone did a really good job with the date codes. You know, I didn't want to pick up a little something. I don't know how long it's been here.
Yeah.
You know? But the other stuff was brewed, like, you know, like mid-February.
Oh, nice.
Which was, you know, which wasn't bad at all. So I ended up with those brands. Oh, and Sam Smith.
Sam Smith.
You know, the old school.
Samuel
Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
So the old school English
beer. I haven't had one of those beers in a while.
Yeah, ran into Imperial Style. I think their craft cocktail bar thing down there is strong, but they still got a lot of room to grow for just carrying brands in places you can find them, easy to find. You know?
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, if this is your first time listening to Chicago Beer Pass, we don't just talk about Puerto Rico. Nick and I talk about the places we made it to, usually Chicago focused. Sometimes we dabble in Indiana, in the Puerto Rico, Portland, things like that happen. They come up and we talk about those. For the most part, stick local.
Yeah.
And we're always drinking some local beer. And this week we have some Double Daisy Cutter from Half Acre. I picked this up on the release day. I don't know if they have yet. Packaged on 2/22/17.
Yeah.
So it's a few, it's what, now like a month old. That's how long I think I had it. I picked it up after we recorded, and then we didn't record, and then we had a guest, so we couldn't drink it because we had a Chris on.
Oh, yeah, Chris brought some beers. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been chilling here, so it's probably it doesn't pack the same punch as it used to, but it's only a month, so it really shouldn't have, like, gone away that much.
Yeah, it shouldn't change too much. And this is probably the first time it's been in cans, I think, right? Double Daisy Cutter was always one of my favorite releases because of the bomber and because of the artwork was always changing.
Yeah.
You had that bizarre, like, two-headed donkey.
Donkey, yeah.
Yeah, and there's an ode to the donkey on here, but it's just more of a black and white silhouette. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back when it was in bombers, it would be like the donkey was, like, on the moon and he had on, like, a, you know, like a space jacket.
Yeah, these cans are very subdued for Half Acre, I guess. Like, they're usually much brighter and bolder cans, and this one just feels like... I'm not gonna say last minute, just like not as crazy.
It's a like a, and it's like a, it feels like an ode to like some kind of Native American like winter poncho, some like Southwestern poncho. So
maybe there's something else to that that we don't know.
Yeah, but.
But coming in at 8%, it's a big beer.
Yeah, and we were saying like back when it was in Bombers that it might have been even bigger, right? This is in line with all their other double IPAs that they're making nowadays.
I feel like it was like 9 or maybe even 10.
Yeah, so like this reminds you of like Navajo. And there's another one that I'm skipping. Oh, Gone Away.
Yeah.
This is in line with those IPAs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's their thing. They're hanging their hat on these IPAs.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, speaking of them, they had a release called Heavy Gem this week. So it was like, it was really cryptic. Like, that's got his own website. And all it basically says is, hey, you know, we got these four beers, and you can only get them at Half Acre or at Tired Hands in, like, somewhere in Philly.
Okay.
Or Pennsylvania somewhere. Ardmore, Pennsylvania. And that's kind of all it says, you know. But one of them was an IPA.
Okay, and those are at the brew tap store?
You can get them there.
Okay.
And that's the only two places you can get them, which is kind of...
Maybe I know where I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ride my bike up there.
Yeah, so the Half Acre, man, that's their wheelhouse, man. Big, fun IPAs.
Yeah. You know? Nice. So we'll sip on this as we talk about some events we made it to this previous week or so.
Yeah.
Gotta recommend going first and listening to that Chris Jacobson episode.
That was good.
Yeah, always nice to have him on, hear what he has to talk about and have to say about the scene, because he's invested and he's got the brewery and a lot of cool stuff he's doing.
Yeah, Darkside's a good party. And we tried not to marginalize it and talk about Darkside, because he's got a really, you know, he's done a lot of events in the past. You know, he's partnered with like Fountainhead. They had this fusion series, you know, with like a, you know, just alchemy series where they were adding spices to beers on the spot.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then, he's like a graphic designer. He's like an enthusiast turned graphic designer for the industry.
Okay.
He talked about his project with Stone, and he's throwing parties with Stone. So a lot of cool stuff he's got going on.
Very nice, yeah. So last week I was on the Burbs, and I hit up Two Brothers.
Right on.
The Warrenville Tap Room, which... We talked about a previous episode that may be going away at some point because they have the Naperville, like, giant land that they bought.
So. Yeah, because they're trying to do, like, this, like, a brewing school as well as a distillery. Mm-hmm. So they got this, like, huge complex somewhere out in Naperville.
Yeah. And I think they need a brewing school because when I rolled up there around lunchtime, all these people with their books, like the Randy Moser, like books, and everyone, like, it was just like, what? The parking lot's packed. All these, like, I'm not gonna say kids, but just people coming out with their looked like school gear kind of thing. And I'm like, oh man, the tap room's gonna be packed. And then I go and no one's in the tap room for lunch or anything. So,
and this is the one where it's like, it's kind of like hiding in plain sight. There's no real signage that says it's there.
Right.
It's like off down some random street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went in there, had lunch. I had a beer called Pinball that is in cans that I didn't even know it was in cans. And that was cool to see. I know in the previous place we used to record in at Bomb Camp, lots of pinball machines there.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty solid beer. And then I picked up a 6-pack of their 20th anniversary ale. So I have that in the fridge for us to probably drink next week.
For sure. What's going on with that? Have you had a chance to try it yet?
I didn't even try it yet. I just saw it. And I was like, damn, these guys have been open for 20 years? That's crazy.
It's a short list, man.
Yeah.
Short list. So 20 years ago was like, 96?
Yeah.
Right? So Three Floyds is on that list. Yeah. Yeah. Really short
list. Second wave after the class of 88.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So we'll probably have the 20th anniversary from Two Brothers on the next week episode. But Pinball, really... solid beer. I feel like it was like just a pale ale or an extra pale ale, something like that.
Yeah. I know that they, other than the sour program, everything they do is kind of like, hey, approachable and reachable. You know, like, let's just put this beer everywhere. I want to say at one point they were saying how they were like the fourth largest brewer in the state. Like, they were really like focusing on like, what do you call it? Like, chain stores and restaurants. That's, like, where their focus point was.
Oh, okay. You know? Nice. Makes sense. I think that was the main thing I did that brewery-related. Yeah. Picked up some Guinness, though, for St. Patrick's Day. Had to do that.
St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
I hung out with the Tullamore Dew guys. They had a Doing a Brew, which was, like, Doing a Brew is, like, this traveling series where they go to different cities and they pair... like flights of their whiskey with flights of a local brewery. And Buckle Down was a future brewery here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was cool. So it was right downtown, right across from House of Blues at a place called the Tortoise Supper Club. Yeah, so that was a fun little like St. Patty's Day event. They got like this traveling van, and then they're documenting the whole thing. So there's a video on the Tullamore Dew website where they hang out, and every state they hang out in, like they hang out at the brewery, and they talk about why they partnered with that particular brewer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was fun.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And then you made it to like some Goose Island event as well?
Yeah, I went to R&D night at the Fulton Brewery. Yeah, so Goose Island, so they got this program called the Cooper's Project. So it's basically like their off-season BCS barrel program, okay. Right? So like, you know, BCS comes out in the winter. This is going to come out, you know, like in the spring and some in the summer too. So they got they had six beers that they had on in bottles. The first two are going to be the Project 1 and 2. The first one's a Scotch Ale.
Okay.
So they took the Scotch Ale, they aged half of it, I think, for 4 months, and then they blended it back in with fresh beer. And then the second one is going to be, it was a Fooder Project, which is basically like a sour, like a Flanders, like okay. An Oud Bruin.
Oh, okay.
Oud Bruin, a wild ale, man, you know? Yeah. And that was actually, might have been my favorite one.
Nice, okay.
Yeah. So they got six of these beers, Little Moxie, Fascinator. Grand Prestige, which is out in the Bombers or the big 765s, and so is Brewery Yard.
Okay.
Yeah. But, dude, Grand Prestige is really good, man.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between, like, a barley wine and a stock ale. It's, like, 11%. It was, like, a $9 bottle. It was really nice.
Okay.
So, yeah. They're really trying to just take advantage of the fact that they got all these barrels, you know. So that was really the whole point of the project.
So are these are going to have Goose Island, the R&D on them, like they're going to be called that?
Right, like I wonder what kind of lane they're going to pick with regards to marketing. I'm not really sure. I feel like this is like, you know how Fulton Wood is like a draft only, Chicago only stuff, right? And it's probably, some of it's probably in bottles now. But I feel like this is an extension of like what the Fulton Wood project is supposed to be.
So just like more advanced Fulton Wood kind of things?
Yeah, it's like this is the wood aged Fulton and Wood division.
This is the actual wood division.
This is the actual wood of the Fulton and Wood project series.
Okay. Yeah.
We had, on a side note, we had an interesting talk about, because I learned that, you know, like when you go to Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, that the Goose IPA is the third most popular beer sold there.
Really?
Is Goose IPA. And then it came into a conversation. I always thought that, you know, Lagunitas IPA and Hop Hunter from Sierra Nevada were the top two IPAs in the country, and that Goose's IPA came in somewhere third, and someone jumped in and corrected me on that on like a Brewbus tour. He's like, no, Goose is number one.
Really? Goose IPA is number one.
Right, so I was talking to the Goose Island guys. I'm like, well, where does it rank? You know, I'm kind of curious. He's like, first of all, it is Sierra Nevada, but it's not Hop Hunter that's number one. The number one IPA in the country, just sales volume-wise, is Torpedo from Sierra Nevada.
Whoa,
number two is the Lagunitas IPA. And number three in the country for sales is Goose Island's English-style IPA.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the one that they won like 7 JBF awards for back in the day.
The green one?
Yeah. Okay. The one in the green bottle. Yeah.
Okay. Not Green Line.
Not Green Line. But the
Goose. And not Green 312.
Right. And not Green 312. And 312 Day passed recently. I don't really get into 312 though, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an interesting side conversation about, you know, where their IPA ranks, you know.
Sierra Nevada Torpedo.
Torpedo is a top selling IPA in the country.
Wow. I haven't had a Sierra Nevada Torpedo in years.
I was on the island. That's the only reason I drank so much of it. But
I was Sierra Nevada Island, and I had to drink it.
That's the only reason, though. Yeah, it gets overlooked for sure. But, well, they got the two breweries now.
Yeah.
You know, there's one in Mills, North Carolina, or wherever they're at, and then there's the original one, so.
That's crazy. Who's buying? Like, what group of people are like, I'm getting my 30-pack Old Style or MGD, and then you know what, Torpedo
from Sierra Nevada,
and yeah. I haven't bothered to go to any other IPAs.
The first Sierra Nevada beer period that comes to mind is the Pale Ale,
right?
And then after that, the Barley Wine, which we had on one of our post-show segments.
I feel like the Pale Ale has to outsell Torpedo like
you would,
10 times over.
You would think, yeah, but I mean, as far as IPAs go,
right?
Yeah. My guess would have been Lagunitas IPA, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's crazy.
So yeah, but it was a good night. I mean, they could, you know, they don't hang their, they could just rest and say, hey, you know, Bourbon County Stout, is this jug or not? You know, let's just go with that. But they're constantly trying to reinvent themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Evolve, rather. I shouldn't say reinvent. They're just constantly trying to evolve and do new stuff with barrels. Yeah. So the sour is project number two. And the, what was it? Oh, the Scotch Ale is the first one that's coming out, which ought to be actually hitting stores like this week or next week.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
Nice. So keep an eye out for those. And new stuff from Goose Island is always pretty neat. Yeah. So that was our last couple of weeks. I feel like we went easy on it. We didn't like go crazy, but that's fine.
We chill. Oh, I went to Centennial in River North. I forgot about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Centennial is a new two-level craft focused bar in River North.
Okay.
Yeah, which is an area not really known for having craft focused bars. You know, this is like not too far from like, I don't want to say it's like one of the closer neighborhoods to like Navy Pier, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, so it's over in that area. So they got the chef from Hopleaf over there, and then they got Patty Mandel, who used to be like a Goose Island. She was like a, you know, she was like a trainer. She was like a beer education specialist.
Okay.
So she's running the beer program. The guy in the kitchen used to cook food at Hopleaf.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And then the owner apparently has a brother who founded the brewery Founders up in Michigan.
He founded the Founders?
He's the founder of Founders. He's one of the co-founders of Founders.
Of the brewery.
Of the brewery Founders. Yeah. So because I'm asking the guy, I met the guy. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, yeah, this building's been around since 1886. I'm like, all right, this is a fun spot, you know. There's fireplace upstairs, you know, leather couches. It's a nice spot, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so why'd you call it Centennial? He's like, man, you know, I'm really in love with Centennial IPA from Founders because, you know, my brother's one of the co-founders up there. He's like, so we'll have a rotating draft. We'll have rotating drafts, like 16 drafts, and this is the only one that'll be a permanent handle.
Okay.
Is a Centennial.
Another IPA I haven't had or seen in a long time.
It's been a while. I had it that night. Okay. But other than that, it's been a while for me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I think it's crazy you were drinking so much Founders in Puerto Rico because I don't even see Founders here in Chicago that often anymore.
Yeah, the only one I see here is probably All Day IPA. Yeah, I see that constantly because it's in bottles, it's in 30 packs.
And sometimes I'll notice Breakfast Stout because they changed the label, and I'm like, oh, that's what the label reminds me again and again. Like, oh yeah, they had to change that. That's
funny. I think Old Curmudgeon, I think, is sneaky good. Mm-hmm. I really like.
No, all their beers are great.
Yeah, it's
just weird. We don't see them very much here in Chicago anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're around. I just blank over them. I'm like, oh, that's just Founders.
Yeah, because they do like their packaging is so consistent. You know, you got brands like Half Acre and Pipeworks and or even Three Floyds, and every label is drastically different. Uh-huh. But then you have brands like Founders and Revolution and Sierra Nevada as well. It can go in that category where everything is kind of in step. Like they all kind of look like visually, they're all kind of they all look the same. They're all very similar labels. Yeah.
Nice. So. Okay. Cool. So check out Centennial in River North. Yeah, you only have like Clark's Real House. You have Jake Melnick's. Got Side Door over that way. So
yeah, a
few spots.
Right on.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into this coming week and what we have on the calendar.
For sure. Let's focus on the Open Bottle. It's their second anniversary.
Nice.
So this is a bottle shop / tap room down in Tinley Park.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're 2 years old already, so they're doing a party on Saturday the 26th with two sessions and 15 breweries, and they're actually doing a lot of cool like brewery giveaway stuff, you know, whether it's tickets, you know, tickets to a tour or really cool swag, and then they've got a bunch of breweries coming out pouring some fun beers too.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's Saturday.
And are they like. And the same strip mall or right nearby 350?
Yeah, they're like right across the street from 350. Okay. I think, you know, the owners are like a husband and wife duo. They were kind of inspired by what the Beer Temple is doing. You know, really good bottle shop down there.
Nice, yeah, okay.
For sure. So that's Saturday.
That's Saturday. Anything else on Saturday?
Yeah, also on the 26th is the 6th annual Sour and Funk Fest from Upland. I actually think I'm going to go to this, man.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. This is so Upland is in Bloomington, which is like 5 hours away, but this party is going to be at a convention center in Indianapolis.
Okay.
The ticket is a $100 ticket.
Damn.
Yeah, for that's VIP, and the $70 is for general admission. And this is there's going to be 40 breweries. Because, yeah, man, I'm kind of up and down on sours. You know, everybody's interpretation of sours is so different. Mm-hmm. You know, some are a little abrasive and, you know, just kind of way too funky. But then some are nice and like that Sour Patch Kid style we always talk about. But, yeah, Cascade, Wicked Weed, Crooked Stave, they're all going to be there. So I want to just get a chance to just try them all out.
Okay.
You know, just and have like a proper opinion on sours. Because my you're goes up get and
sick,
down.
Man.
Hopefully there's a Tum station. They were joking that there might be a Tum station at this thing.
Hopefully there's non-sour beers too.
Yeah. Maybe there's like a session booth or something.
You're going to need something. Like maybe there may be some, at least some farmhouses or something.
Or something. Yeah. Something non-sour. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's also Saturday. That's the 6th annual one. This is their biggest one. They're inviting 40 breweries out to it.
$100. Yeah. That's... Sour beers are expensive, so I can understand the need for the price for that, but yeah.
This is the state of the craft beer festival in Donald Trump's America, Brad.
Well, $100 tickets?
I hope you're happy.
Damn. I didn't know this is what would happen.
No.
Cool. So that's Saturday as well. Anything else on Saturday or this weekend?
No, that's all I got, those two events.
That's it, okay. I know... tickets for the Chicago Beer Classic at Soldier Field. Those are on sale right now, so check those out as well.
Yeah, is that the one where you can actually get on the field?
Yeah, you can actually get on the field.
Because it's off season.
Yeah, we should talk to someone about getting over there. So yeah,
I'd be down for that. Okay. Right on.
So check that out. So before we wrap up here, I think there was a bunch of beer news this past week.
Yeah, quite a bit, man, quite a bit. We'll start with... one of my favorite groups, Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
They'll be performing at Lollapalooza in Chicago this August. They've got an IPA out called Stay Gold, which is one of the songs off RTJ3. So Brooklyn's Interborough Brewery hooked up with RTJ to make this beer. This is their second collaboration. They were actually at Pitchfork maybe like 4 years ago now, and Run the Jewels, which is a hoppy wheat ale, was a collaboration with Goose Island.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so these guys really dig their beer.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. The Beer in the Glass, which is the opening ceremony for Chicago Craft Beer Week. Those tickets go on sale this Friday at noon.
Okay.
That is the 8th annual Chicago Beer in the Glass. Jeez.
I know. Carrie from Portland, who was on an episode with us, I don't know, maybe a year ago now.
Yeah.
He was asking me about that today, the day we're recording this. And he's like, I think I'm going to be in town for Chicago Beer Week. I'm like, wait, when is it? Like, is it, am I already, like, it's already here?
Coming in hot, May 18th.
Yeah.
Which is, it's weird because Dark Lord Day falls the weekend before Chicago Craft Beer Week this year.
Yikes.
Yeah. So that's May 18th at 6:30, but tickets go on sale this Friday. $60, general admission, VIP is $80 for that event.
Nice. Okay. So, yeah, grab tickets. It's a great event. I've been... not all 8 years. I haven't been all eight. I know I missed a couple.
Yeah. That's at the Garfield Park Conservatory.
Yeah.
I actually think if you're talking events in the city of Chicago, that's probably one of the three best events in the city.
And last year's weather was great. Hopefully see this kind of same thing.
Yeah, for sure. So festival season's upon us, man. Let's switch gears a little bit and go to California, man. We want to talk about the California Department of Alcohol and Beverage Control, man.
All right.
So they reached a settlement with Anheuser-Busch for $400,000 because Anheuser-Busch...
That's like nothing.
That's nothing for them, right? Right. It's the largest charge in the history of the California Department of Alcohol Beverage Control. You know, it's the largest, you know, that they level to anybody. Oh, because AB is apparently, it's AB's wholesalers that are, you know, they got sued over pay to play, man.
Okay. You know?
It's ridiculous, man. So apparently... AB wholesalers are buying for retail outlets like restaurants and bars. They're buying refrigeration units, TVs, draft systems.
And yeah, we've heard about this stuff happen in Chicago for years. We know it happens.
Yeah,
I know Tracy over at Metropolitan has talked about it for a long time. A lot of people have, and it just happens here. I don't know. Just no one sued or bothered with it.
Yeah, there's no way around it. I mean, here locally, you know, you get to see the other side of the AB impact as far as like, you know, safety standards, you know, for like Goose Island or like distribution. You know, you get access to this wider network of like hops and, you know, and retail outlets to sell to. That's the good. But then the bad is, you know, they're doing shit like this in California. It's pretty wild, man. Yeah.
But they use that. I know they use that Goose Island as a bargaining chip now. They're like, oh, you're going to take off Bud Light. Well, I guess you won't be getting any Bourbon County.
Yes. No BCS for you, yeah, chap.
So they kind of, it's almost they picked it up as like their just Trump card, I guess. Yeah, that's the only way to say it. Yeah.
Pretty much, man. Pretty much. Shout out to the Hop Review. They turned 5 years old.
Whoa.
This week. Yeah, they're actually partying today at Maplewood. Damn. Which is a brewery and distillery in Logan Square.
That's crazy.
Yeah, super fast, man. They're the ones that actually told me about the Upland trip. So cheers to those guys, man. You know, Josh Knoll with the Tribune, he's got a really cool story about the 25th anniversary of Hop Leaf and the Map Room. They both turned 25 this year, so he sat down with the founders of both of those.
Okay.
And it's a really good piece because all it does is go back and forth between the Hop Leaf owner and the Map Room owner.
I'll have to read that. Were they like rivalries?
No, because they were like the only ones in town. They were the only ones in town doing it, you know. So it was kind of like,
that'd be
funny
if they were like, ah, oh, the Map Room got this beer.
So we pay some guys and go and get it from them. Yeah. You know,
we went there and we drank it all real fast so no one else could get it.
Yeah, it's good, man. The Map Leaf lady, she talks, Laura Blassingame. She talks about, like, you know,
the Map Room, not Map Leaf.
What did I say?
You combine the
two. Did I say Map Leaf?
Map Leaf. That should be a new brewery. That should be a new place. Someone should start the Map Leaf.
The Map Leaf. That's funny.
It's right in between, like, location wise.
You could do it slightly just outside the city. No one would really know.
It only is Belgian beers, but it has like one. You have like just frites. There you go.
They trace some stories about, you know, like extortion and like gangs trying to like charge them rent and all kind of stuff. It's a good piece. I liked it. New Belgium, they do their annual Tour de Fat event every summer in Chicago. And it's always a benefit for West Town Bikes. You know, it's like how would you call it? It's like a vaudeville show / circus, and all the proceeds go
street fest. Yeah.
And they promote, you know, sustainability and, you know, folks using their bikes over cars, that kind of thing. It's always in Logan Square. This year it's moving to Northerly Island downtown by Soldier Field.
Oh, wow.
The concert hall, and it's going to be featuring the Roots.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Tickets for that go on sale, and they're that's a July 29th. That's a $30 ticket. Yeah. When I was at Centennial, down at River North, I ran into Michael from Good Beer Hunting. Michael Kaiser, Good Beer Hunting. He said that Uppers and Downers, it was their biggest year to date. They did 800 tickets, AM and PM.
Damn,
800 tickets for both sessions. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Damn.
Yeah. And finally, the Brewers Association released their top 50 brewers in the country.
Top 50 brewers?
Yeah.
Where's your list? Remember?
I hate this list, man. See, there's a thing about this list, man. It's like, all right, so they exclude, because, you know, the Brewers Association dictates, like, what a craft brewer is, right? So at one point, you know, the limit, one of the requirements for craft brewers is that you couldn't be over 1 million barrels a year. And then Sam Adams went to 2 million barrels, and they were going to be out of list. They're like, oh, well, you know, now the new limit, you know what I mean? Yeah. All right, so here's a list.
Anyone that would, I just want to know, Chicago, I don't care about who's the top brewer in South Dakota.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, well, in Chicago, Revolution made the list for the first time ever.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like number 46.
Nice, okay. Yeah. That's the only one?
That's it.
That's it, okay. Nick, we got to put our list together of the Chicago brewers, top Chicago brewers. So run them down.
Yeah, right? That's actually a very good point. I'm going to write that down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, it's like on this list, like Lagunitas and Goose Island are both in Chicago, but they're not on the list. Yeah.
Well, and they're too big to pick one brewer there. Like, it's easy to go to somewhere like Pipeworks and say, like, oh, there's the head brewer, but somewhere like Goose Island or Lagunitas,
I don't think they get that, like, specific. I think, like, by brewer, they just mean brewery.
Brewery.
That's what they mean.
Top 50. Oh, yeah. So it's not even a person.
No. Just a top brewer as in brewery. In this case, they're the same. So we'll run down, we'll run down the top five, because the top five hasn't changed in, like, the last 4 or 5 years. Yuengling's number one, Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada, New Belgium, and Gambrinus. Gambrinus is the crew that does Shinerbach.
Oh, okay.
It's that crew. Huh. Yeah. So that's been the same forever. So
it's really just their list of like, hey, we want to keep you happy.
Yeah. other notables in the top 10, Bell's number 7, Oscar Blues number 10, Stone number 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got two other bits of news. One, Beguile has cans.
Yeah.
So they finally released, I think they have 2 beers in cans I've seen pictures of. So you can now pick up their cans at Whole Foods and lots of other places now. So
I like the Beguile guys a lot. Yeah. And I remember when Whole Foods here in Chicago, when they bought all those old Dominics and turned them into Whole Foods, they were like, hey, we're going to do draft programs in all these Whole Foods, and we're going to have a beer exclusive to each one. And they picked Beguile to be the brewer for those exclusive beers at Whole Foods.
So their cans look really nice. I think they have like almost like a matte finish on them, so they look pretty good. I haven't seen them I've only seen the pictures, so I need to see them in person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other bit of news, there are 2 Chicago beer groups going around with this boycott Ballast Point.
Really? We were talking about this in the pre-show.
Yeah, so what it is the group Constellation Brands.
Yes.
That owns Ballast Point.
Yeah.
Has donated like hundreds of thousands of dollars to Paul Ryan and other GOP candidates. So they've given money. They've also given like $5,000 to Tammy Duckworth and a couple other Democratic people here in Illinois, but the main thing is like it's like $250,000 to Paul Ryan, and that's like the biggest one that, you know, most of the left does not like Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
So they are pushing for Chicago bars to not carry Ballast Point and to boycott it, and just no reason to support this group. So I think I shared the link. Mm-hmm. I shared the link personally. I don't know if I shared it on the Chicago Beer Pass Twitter or not. It's an interesting read. I know, what's his name over, the beer guy at Publican now.
Oh, yeah, Beer Adam.
Beer Adam.
Yeah.
He mentioned this on Facebook. He said, you know, it's a silly fight. Like, you should be looking at the distributors if you really want to kind of make a difference or try to like say, but for me it's kind of like the same idea as like the delete Uber that people were doing for a little bit. Like it's easy for me to stop drinking one beer because of what they're doing, but for me to go after a distributor because I don't know all the brands they have is a little harder. But so I'd say check this out, the boycott Ballast Point. I haven't drank Ballast Point in a while. Sculpin is good, but since they started doing fruit in every beer,
and they're sitting sky high at every supermarket.
Yeah, so I've been kind of like, I don't want that. I don't want watermelon.
You walk in and like the entire it's like 12 feet high. This wall of all these flavors of Sculpin that they have.
Yeah,
yeah. So the Billionaire Boys Club, they started as a homebrew club.
Yeah,
and then voila.
They're giving money to Paul Ryan, and I don't know what they're doing, what their plan is with that, but yeah, kind of interesting.
Right on.
So, just a little bit of news, a little politics and craft beer.
I want to check it out now, yeah, because I'm not hip to the to the boycott Ballast Point story. Uh-huh. So I want to see it.
Yeah, 2 Chicago beer groups. It'll be interesting to maybe get one on to talk to here and what they do, because it seems like they've do other political beer stuff. So,
right on.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, I think. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when you're not here recording?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. Leave a review on iTunes because we're like featured now, and like there's like a top, there's a beer podcast list going, and we're like the 3rd one in there.
There you go. Just us just hanging out, and third one listed. No big deal.
Lots of other good beer podcasts there, but go leave a review, because that just like makes iTunes be like, yeah, these guys are good. All right, so we'll be back next week, probably usual day and time, so stay tuned for that. Take care.
Cheers.